Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'd like to welcome you to the Voices of Courage show today. Today, we have two very special guests with us. I'm going to introduce them immediately today. Well, I'm not going to do a monologue. I think I'm just going to introduce our guests immediately so that we have a lot of time to talk about them. I'm calling this show The Courage to Become a Grammy Winner. Yeah, that's going to be a good one, right? Well, today my guest is the legendary Carol Connors, and she's an acclaimed singer, songwriter, whose remarkable career spans more than six decades. She first rose to fame as the voice of the Teddy Bears. With the number one hit, To Know Him Is to Love Him, written by the infamous Phil Spector and genius of rock and roll music. Phil Spector was the key to Elvis becoming her first love. She went on to co-write the iconic Gonna Fly Now, the theme for Rocky, which earned an Academy Award nomination. She's currently nominated for a Grammy Award for Best Audiobook for her memoir, Elvis, Rocky, and Me, a powerful reflection on her extraordinary life in the music world in Hollywood. We also have today, so welcome, Carol. So good to have you on the show. I'll get to you in a second. Dave, we also have David Longoria. He's a 2025 Grammy Award winning musician, composer, and producer known for his powerful trumpet work and genre-spinning artistry. He won the Academy Award for Best Children's Music Album as a contributing artist on Brillo, a Lucy Diaz and the Family Jam Band. Longoria's careers bridges jazz, pop, Latin, and inspirational music, and his work is recognized for his emotional depth, technical experience, and collaborative spirit across many genres. David, welcome to the show. It's both great to have both of you here.
Thank you.
You know, I wanted to take this interview in a little different way than probably some of the interviews that you've done in the past. I know both of you have done extensive interviews over time. You know, I'd like to just start with you, Carol. You're up right now for the Grammy. My hope is that you're going to win this. That's yours too. You know, looking back, like when you first realized that music wasn't something you did, but became who you are, can you tell us a little bit about that moment in time for you?
Well, I like to say something that is a bit outrageous, but I was an incubator baby, and I believe that they wheeled in a baby grand piano into my incubator and said, "Start now." I don't know anything else. I mean, my whole life, I always say my life is my music and my music is my life. I mean, my mother was supposed to study in the Warsaw Conservatory of Music. She had the most beautiful singing voice. She was going to study opera, and she instilled in me the love of all the great masters. And so I think I knew from a very early age that music was in my bones, and that's what God intended. That's what was intended for me to do.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think music, you know, you're bringing in something from the unseen into the scene, right? You're bringing something, some creation into the world that's not been there. And so I'm just wondering, how do you recognize that when it starts to show up? Is there like a little voice in your head that says, "Oh, go right, to know me is to know him is to love him," or you know what happens there?
Well, I didn't write "To Know Him Is to Love Him."
Oh, that's right, Phil Spector did. That's
her voice,
yeah,
because he fell in love with my voice, as did Elvis. But I think what happens is that it's just all of a sudden, if you get an assignment, like I love to write for movies and for TV, and that started when I was a kid, when I watched High Noon and "Oh, Don't Forsake Me, Oh, My Darling." It was one of my favorite songs. And I think it's just all of a sudden, you know, and you must do it at that moment. If I had an assignment for the rescuers, that was one of my Oscar nominations. And one of the nine great men, Wooley Reitherman, who produced it, he also did Snow White and Pinocchio. He said to me, I'd like you to write a theme for Medusa, which was Geraldine Page. I don't want any lyrics, Carol. I just want the music. That night, I came up with the theme, but I didn't write it down. I said, oh, I'll remember it in the morning. I never remembered it. She never got a theme. What can I say? But it gave me great discipline about my work. If the idea hits you, when it hits you, you better get your cell phone today or your pencil, your paper, your pen, and you better write it down because you will forget it.
You know, I think it takes great courage to be a musician in today's world. And David, I'm going to direct this to you. When do you know that the song is, tunes in with you, your magic, your presence? You know, how do you know that, and find the courage to put some of the lyrics and what everybody's doing today in the world? How do you know?
That's a very interesting question. And it does really involve courage because you have to have the courage to put yourself out there, to not be afraid to say some things that might be bolder than you would say in conversation, but it's the right lyric for that moment. And sometimes this is something that Carol and I talk about because she's an excellent lyricist. And when she writes something, she'll run it by me and she'll say, oh, what do you think about this wording or this wording? And the wording that makes me smile is the one that I think is really, there's something magical about it because it has a little cleverness to it. It's not always just like over the top clever, but it's just got something that's magical that the other one didn't have. And so sometimes this exact word was so critical to telling that story, and it's concise. It doesn't have a bunch of extraneous words. It just gets in there and tells the message and makes you smile because, oh, I got that.
I mean, I must tell you something that once happened. It's sort of validating what you said, David. I did four songs for Plácido Domingo, which of course touched my mother's heart because can you imagine my mother was supposed to study opera and I'm showing her a song that I wrote for Plácido Domingo, one of the greatest opera singers of all time. So one day I get this call. And it's Plácido. And he goes, oh, quiero, quiero, quiero. That's how he talked. Oh, quiero, I love the new song. I just need you to change one little word. Well, I went from a great high to my heart and my feet. And I said, well, Plácido, what's the word? He said, oh, quiero, it's not a big thing. They talk very softly because they are always preserving their voices. Said, it's not a big thing. It's just a little itty, a little word. And I said, Plácido, what's the word? And he said, well, and the whole voice changed. He said, when you wrote this song, you called it, I Never Believed in Love. I said, yes, that's the name of the song. He said, do you think you could change it to, I Always Believed in Love? I had to write an entire new song.
Wow.
And I had 2 days to do it before we went into the studio. One, as David said, one word, it's just, it makes the whole difference. That one was a big difference, but sometimes an and instead of a the, it'll make the difference in the song.
That's amazing. You know, the song, you know, I do remember your first song and I fell in love with you and I fell in love with that song when I was a kid, you know, to know.
I fell in love with me.
And I've been playing it now for the last few days and falling in love with it again. It's just so beautiful. One thing that hit me, it does hit me, was songs that seem to become very popular. And it's like, I've never said this to anybody on air, but it's like you were singing, I think Phil Spector said, sing to me your dad and feel that, you know, in the book you talk about your dad, you know, and how you sang that song to your dad. It seems like a lot of these hit songs, if you substituted God for, for whatever the lyric is, right? I mean, these popular, it seems like when we're singing that, I'm going, there's a coincidence here. A lot of these songs, if you replace God, with who you're singing to, they seem to become number one hits. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of weird. I just saying.
There have been people that have said, I mean, Talia Shire, because we did Rocky together. She said to me, Carol, your voice was the age of innocence. And Phil first said, to, I was 16 and a half. And Phil first said to me, sing it like you had a boyfriend. I said, a boyfriend? I don't have a boyfriend. I'm a kid. He said, then sing it like you were singing to your father. And maybe in some level, don't you think, David, who may have meant God or
Yeah,
something? I
absolutely.
mean, maybe that is what he really meant. I never thought about that then, but there was such an innocence to that song. It was
Yes,
so
it
jumpy.
was. And yeah, David, I love your comments on that. What are your thoughts on that? You're in the music industry. You've seen a lot of hits over the years. You're like, have you ever
Made a
thought
lot of hits.
of it?
Well, I've been very blessed, but you know what? This kind of brings up something to me that when I first started learning to write songs, not just melodies, Andre Crouch, I worked with a gospel artist named Andre Crouch, who was a nine-time Grammy winner, just incredible talent, and he showed me how to take the honesty that people sing in church, like they're singing about God, which is the most powerful thought you could have in your life, right? And so if you can sing that, you can't have that inauthentic. It's got to be real. So if when you're talking about something like that, okay, a love song is pale compared to your thought about your existence in the universe because your creator means that much to you. So I totally get it. If I go to a church, a black church on a Sunday morning in Inglewood, I know that those little ladies are going to get up there. They're 85 years old and they fill the room with sound and they mean it. And there's nothing more beautiful than hearing something like that.
Well, I love that. Well, listen, I'm gonna take a quick break when we come back. I want to ask you a little bit more about the music itself. When does it stop becoming music and start becoming, I guess what you just said, David, a service to people, right? So we'll take a quick break and then I will be right back in just a moment.
Do you suffer in pain? Are you stiff, tense, or less active than before? Introducing the EasyWell Remedy Massage System that combines the incredible effects of vibrational therapy, targeted deep tissue shiatsu massage, plus soothing infrared heat. A triple fusion of therapeutic experiences. Full body vibrational therapy increases blood circulation and reduces inflammation. Look at these beads moving from the powerful vibrational motors.
It's like a thousand little fingers just vibrating my body from head to toe.
Infrared heat penetrates deep to reduce pain, soothe, and relax.
Remedy gets in there and helps deal with the source of the pain, so you feel much better.
The Ultra Shiatsu pillow with six infrared heated nodes mimics a professional massage. Plus, it's detachable for deep relief anywhere you need it.
It's just something that you're gonna have to feel for yourself.
Experience the true remedy for your pain and stiffness. Call now.
Have you ever felt leg pain, restlessness, cramps, tingling, swelling, numbness, itchiness, or coldness? Then you need the new, clinically proven Legsercise Pro, the natural circulation booster that uses continuous automatic leg movement to soothe pain and promote healthy circulation the natural, drug-free way.
After using Legsercise for a week, I felt like I wanted to go for a walk again without pain like I used to.
Legsercise Pro's patented walking simulator propulsion technology moves your feet back and forth along its concave track, creating constant movement and flex at both the knee and ankle joints. It's like having a physical therapist right in your own home.
It's helped with the swelling and the pain. The tingling feeling is gone.
Call right now and order your very own Legsercise Pro, the clinically proven automatic leg mover that soothes pain and naturally promotes healthy circulation. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. Today we are talking with Grammy Award winner David Longoria and also Carol Connors, who's going to win a Grammy here just shortly. In fact, we're hoping some of your votes will go to that and let people know that need to know that this is the one that you want to recommend. And by the way, she's got a new book out. It's amazing. I'm listening to it right now, about three quarters of the way through it. It's called, oh my gosh, this slipped my mind, Carol.
I remember. I know what it is. It's called Elvis, Rocky,
and
Me. And I'm nominated with David Longoria together. So it would be his second win. And if I win, it would be my first win. And also the blessed and beautiful Kathy Garver from Family Affair. Uh-huh. She played Sissy Sisson. And she did the narrative on the book. And we are in the audiobook. How exactly?
Audiobook category.
We're in the audiobook category nominated for a Grammy. So I'm hoping. We'll see.
I find the book fascinating. I love Kathy's voice. It's so easy to listen to. And she really, I think she, because of her voice and who she is, she captures the era of this, I shouldn't say the era, the message that the book wants to put into the world. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that she fell in love with reading the book.
Yeah.
And she said that she has sort of channeled me. I did the dedication to my mom and dad and the introduction. And there are two songs. The song I wrote about the night Elvis passed away, You Loved My Night Away. And I wrote the what I call it sort of my epitaph. It's sort of my feelings about what my life is all about, which is called Only the Music, Only My Song. And Kathy did a remarkable job of, she's not Shirley MacLaine, and I'm not Shirley MacLaine, but I think that she did channel me on that, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I've talked to you, I've heard your voice, right? And then I got the book and I started listening. I thought at first it was your voice. I really did. I thought that was you. And I was like, well, wait a second. No, that's Kathy. So that, it was, I think she did. David, I want to address this to you, right? You're really a superstar these days. You know, you got the Grammy last year, you know, you're up for another Grammy this year. I guess that my audience would like to know, like, how does that feel to be up on stage and receiving a Grammy, or does it feel like anything? I don't know.
Yeah. It's just another day.
No, it's another day.
You know what? It's funny because Lionel Richie once said, you know, everybody told me that I'm an overnight success and it only took me 25 years to become an overnight success. And I totally relate to that because I put out, I calculated, I produced over 1,000 records over my career. And, you know, certain key ones hit the Billboard charts and a lot of them were in the top 10 on the Billboard charts. But there's nothing that compares to waiting 25 years and you get that Grammy Award. And, you know, in my case, it was such a long shot. In my category was Alice Cooper, Beautiful Record, Run DMC. It was incredible lineup. And the favorite, of course, John Legend was the favorite, according to Rolling Stone and Spin, everybody. And to win against those incredible nominees was just really fulfilling. And it wasn't for John, but it was for me this year. So it was just a wonderful experience, though. And to feel that your peers would elevate what you did to that level is, you know, it's, of course, it's ecstatic.
I love that. Well, listen, I got a question for both of you, because I'd like to know, like, what hardship that you've gone through as an artist, right, as a musician, kind of refined you and it defined you. I'll start with you, David. Tell me what was that moment that kind of changed you, even though it was really hard, you know?
Well, my moment, is it mine first or Carol's?
It's yours.
Okay, I'll show you. But my defining moment that kind of gave me that humility about it was when I came to Los Angeles. I had been a pretty big deal in Seattle at 17 years old because I played on the street corners downtown Seattle And everybody in the area got to know me from that. And it sounds like really small, but it became a really big thing because the biggest radio station would hire me to come over in there and represent them. And the all the TV shows that interviewed people constantly had me on them. The Today, Seattle Today, The Seattle Tonight, all those things were always doing things about this kid who's teenager who was playing on the streets and got the notice of Dizzy Gillespie. I got to perform with him and Oscar Peterson, a whole lot of amazing jazz artists because I played on the streets and I was able to just show what I could do. But then I was hitting my head on the ceiling in Seattle. So I said, I'm going to go to Los Angeles. So I went to Los Angeles with $6, a grocery bag with my clothes in it and my trumpet. And I said, I'm going to make it in Los Angeles. So that it suddenly became very humbling when I played on the street corners for change. And I lived in a tool shed for 3 years. And it was somebody's tool shed that I traded landscaping at her home in exchange for living in her tool shed. And living in a tool shed and working on a movie with Steven Spielberg and Quincy Jones and all these people, it was such a dichotomy of these two things happening at the same time. It was very humbling, though, because I realized that, you know, I'm at the bottom of the food chain in Los Angeles, but I'm working with some of the top people in the world. And somewhere in between is where I belong. And I need to have the courage to show up every day and not tell them I'm living in a tool shed, but somehow hold my chin up and tell people like it is to give my best performance.
Well, I'm going to ask Carol that same question.
I see when you sneeze when somebody's talking, you sneezed on the truth.
Wow.
That's an old, my mother taught me that saying.
I love that. Well, you know, it's... there's a lot of people that watch this show and they look for inspiration. They look for, you know, that peace. Like, that's why I asked you that question. Carol, I'd like to hear your answer too. You know, when things get tough, you know, some people say the tough get going. Well, a lot of times the tough collapse for a while and go into a place of solitude or even depression or whatever, but we come back out and we do what we need to do. Carol, how about you? What was your most transformational moment, would you say, in the business?
Well, you have to imagine that at 17, I had the number one record in the world, not just here, globally, France, Japan, Germany. That's where Elvis heard To Know Him Is to Love Him. He had just gone into the army. So here's the number one record. Then the group falls apart for some reasons. One of them is that I had a terrible car accident. I went off a cliff in a car, and it took four operations to put my nose back on my face, basically. So all of a sudden, I went from this enormous high to nothing. And for years, I felt, I don't even like to even think this word, let alone say it, but I felt like a has-been. And it was the most awful feeling. It's like nobody really wanted me to sing. And I believed that Phil Spector, who became a genius, I mean, and I don't use that word lightly, but I think that he was like a Svengali. Everything he created, he destroyed. And he did not want me to succeed in the record business. And I didn't. I never had another really big hit as a singer. I tried. But he knew the magical formula. I didn't. I just had the voice. So for years, I had this feeling of being not wanted. And it took great, I don't think I have great courage, but I do believe it took courage on my part not to give up. That I was determined to continue, even though I had this feeling of the world just sort of on my shoulders. And it wasn't going to happen, but it did happen. And I never gave up. And I believe I've often felt that, and I gave this quote to People magazine, if you don't eat it, sleep it, think it, drink it, need it, forget it. You have to have laser beam clarity on what you want and don't give up. Sylvester Stallone didn't give up. Hello.
Hello.
1, 2, 3, 4, 12, 50, 100. What can I say?
Yeah, that's a powerful message. I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like to know with both of you what brings you the deepest joy today and how that ties into the music. We'll be right back.
Do you suffer in pain? Are you stiff, tense, or less active than before? Introducing the EasyWell Remedy Massage System that combines the incredible effects of vibrational therapy, targeted deep tissue shiatsu massage, plus soothing infrared heat. A triple fusion of therapeutic experiences. Full body vibrational therapy increases blood circulation and reduces inflammation. Look at these beads moving from the powerful vibrational motors.
It's like a thousand little fingers just vibrating my body from head to toe.
Infrared heat penetrates deep to reduce pain, soothe, and relax.
Remedy gets in there and helps deal with the source of the pain, so you feel much better.
The Ultra Shiatsu Pillow with 6 infrared heated nodes mimics a professional massage. Plus, it's detachable for deep relief anywhere you need it.
It's just something that you're gonna have to feel for yourself.
Experience the true remedy for your pain and stiffness. Call now.
Have you ever felt leg pain, restlessness, cramps, tingling, swelling, numbness, itchiness, or coldness? Then you need the new, clinically proven Legsercise Pro, the natural circulation booster that uses continuous automatic leg movement to soothe pain and promote healthy circulation the natural, drug-free way.
After using Legsercise for a week, I felt like I wanted to go for a walk again without pain like I used to.
Legsercise Pro's patented walking simulator propulsion technology moves your feet back and forth along its concave track, creating constant movement and flex at both the knee and ankle joints. It's like having a physical therapist right in your own home.
It's helped with the swelling and the pain. The tingling feeling is gone.
Call right now and order your very own Legsercise Pro, the clinically proven automatic leg mover that soothes pain and naturally promotes healthy circulation. Call now.
Welcome back, everybody. This is a show that you can pass on to your family and friends, and I hope you do that. We can, if you go to our YouTube channel, if you're already there, just hit subscribe. But if you're not there, you can go to youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork to subscribe and to get all of our shows. Now I'm back here with my two amazing superstars. I've got Carol Connors and David Longoria, and we are talking about amazing things in the music industry that nobody talks about. We really don't talk about some of these things. Like, what brings you joy right now in the music? Carol, let me start with you, because you got this new amazing, you know, book out. You got a Grammy nomination, you know, that is going to turn into a Grammy. We're all holding that for you. And so what brings you joy now?
When David called me and told me that we were nominated for a Grammy together with Kathy for the audiobook, I didn't believe you. I did not believe
it. It took a few minutes.
It took 48 years since my last Grammy nomination. But my next call was Diane Warren, whom I call her the GOAT, because she is the greatest of all time. She calls me the Trailblazer. We have sort of nicknames. But all I could say is that when I was talking to her, and I'm not a crybaby, but I started to cry because, and it was more tears of joy or what is going on? Because my thought was, if everything that you have ever dreamed for, wanted, needed, wished for, thought of was coming true again, I don't have the right to be unhappy. I am ecstatic over what is happening. And poor Diane had to listen to me crying my eyes out. But, you know, and then Dionne Warwick reached out to me to congratulate me. And I think that knowing that people that had known my journey and that they're ecstatic for me, as I have always been for them, I think that's joyous. You know, that people care about you and that you care about them. And it all touched my heart.
I love that. David, how about you? What's bringing you joy today? Other than sitting next to Carol and myself here, right? What else is bringing you joy?
Okay. Well, you know, it's funny because my journey is quite a bit different. I appreciate what people did for me along the way because as a poor kid, my family couldn't afford to buy me a trumpet. And so the local Salvation Army gave me free trumpet lessons and loaned me an instrument. So because of that, they also taught me how to give that back to other people. And it's not because I'm a great guy. I don't mean to say it that way, but there's a responsibility when people do things like that for you, that you have to give it, keep giving it back to other people. And just because I gave it to kind people doesn't mean that my journey is over. And so over the years, I've taught over 500 kids to play instruments just because of what they gave me. And I did it in the same organization through the Salvation Army. And I do it to this day. Any way I can go teach a clinic or teach at a music camp, I'll try to take 3 days out and go do that when I can. And I get joy from the fact that anything I do can touch somebody else's life. And I know Carol feels this way, too. She wrote a song called With You, I'm Born Again. And when that became the number one song for brides to pick for their wedding song, that touches her. It touches me to see that things that we could create out of nothing can touch people's lives. And I'm really moved by that. I wrote a song called We Are One, which is all about lifting people up and trying to collaborate, whatever that collaboration is, and lifting people up to forget about what color your skin is or how you worship God or whatever. It's all about lifting each other up and trying to see that that has an effect on people. And I really think it does.
I love that. I want to listen to that. Where do I hear that song?
It's everywhere. It's like the credit card. It's everywhere you want to be. No, it's on YouTube. You can go check it out on YouTube because it's called We Are One. And it's me plus 750 artists on one thing.
Hey.
Wow. I've been working with a fellow by the name of Dr. Urban Laszlo for the last couple of years. He's nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize twice, and he's also written over 106 books. And it's all about that. He's showing how science and spirituality are all one, the scientific principles of neuroscience, all the sciences are coming together to show it's all connected. We're all one. Okay. And so I'd love to hear that song. Yeah. So
I need to say something about David. When we were just in the Hollywood Christmas parade.
Yeah.
And it was really exciting because it was, you know, us being Grammy nominees together. And we were in a blinged out Rolls Royce convertible Corniche, my friend Tony's car. And the bottom line is he was playing his trumpet all the way through. You got so tired. All the way through the parade route. And in back of him was the Salvation Army. And he was leading them on trumpet. And we were singing all the great carols. And people were loving it. They were loving it.
I'm loving it. I feel so blessed and privileged to be with both of you today. And I really appreciate you taking the time. You know, where there are people that are out there, there are influencers that can help move that Grammy nomination into a Grammy. Who would those be? Who do we want to touch today, right?
I brought a list. Here's the name.
Every Grammy voter.
Well, I think that there's sort of a snowball effect because it's our job to get the word out and tell the story. And in this case, it's the story of this lady's life. And it's an incredible life because her life, her career could have been over after Phil Spector, after that one episode, but it turned into another episode with Elvis Presley. Then it turned into another episode where she wrote the only female written hot rod song, which plays at every car festival for the last 40 years. And then it could have been over before she wrote the theme to Rocky with these other people.
Right.
And at any stage, that would have been enough of a story for anybody. But if that story goes on and on and on, the book is this thick. No, that's not really.
No,
but it has such incredible milestones in it. And that's why it's such a compelling story, is because it's not one thing. It's like success after success after success.
And failures too.
Well,
failures.
You can't have success without some failures along the way. And that never bothers me. When I told Carol, listen, you deserve a Grammy for this audiobook, you look at me and say, yeah, all right, that's a big long shot. And I said, of course it's a long shot. We don't do it because it's the mathematics are right. We do it because it's possible. And we agreed on that. And every success you've had is not because it was 100% guaranteed.
True.
It's because it was destined to be successful. So all we have to do is do our job, and then the other people line up and do their jobs.
I love what you said, and I think, you know, the first book I wrote was a book called Ask and You Will Succeed, and in that book is not one how question. I didn't write how to do it. I just said, hey, what do we do? When do we do it? Why do we do it? Let's go, right?
And Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. All right, Carol, we're almost wrapping up here, but I've got one more Columbo question for you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the Columbo close. You know, if your soul could speak through your music and through your book right now, what's the message your soul would want to give to the world?
Well, my mother always said that music soothes the savage beast. That was a line that my mother used. And I believe that music is the way to people's hearts. I mean, I know this sounds terribly silly, but when 9/11 and so many and terrible things have happened with other nations or whatever, I always say to myself, if only people would listen to music or sit down and talk to each other, the world would be a finer, better, gentler kind of place. And I totally, totally believe that. And music is the universal language. It's just the universal language.
Yeah. Well, as I listen to the audiobook about Rocky, I mean, Elvis, Rocky, and me, I feel that there's wisdom that comes through that quite a bit. And there's also a sense of connection that I felt that you wrote about, you know, in your life, how it's all connected to everybody that's been through your life. So it's a very powerful read for those that would like to get the book. And they can get it on Amazon or...
Amazon or all over. And also now Kindle, because now it's the audio book, which is why we're nominated. And my documentary is guess what the name of the documentary is, Ken?
Let me think about it. Maybe Elvis, Rocky, and me.
And it's premiering at a very prestigious film festival. And I was so touched. The Palm Springs Film Festival. And David's going to be there.
It's next week it premieres.
I know. And we'll see what happens. And I'm going to be doing some different film festivals with the book, with the documentary. And now we're working on a project for the country of Malaysia, because when President Trump landed there, they didn't play God Bless America. They played da, 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 the theme from Rocky. And I had written the music to Malaysia about, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, that became like part of their fabric. And now they've asked us to do a project, and it looks like we're doing a big project for their country. So it's not just for film or television or records. It's for a country. So that's very exciting.
I love it. Well, both of you, congratulations on the nomination. I think I'm very optimistic. I think it's the year. I think this is the time. This is the place. The two of you together, I feel the magic. I feel that energy together. So I got a feeling it's going to be good news coming out here. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, and thank both of you for being here. It's been my pleasure, and I just want to, from my soul to yours, it's been really amazing. So it's been really good. So thank you so much.
The questions have been very, they're very unique. They're very different than other interviews that I have done. and it made me really think. And I love that.
Well, I wanted my audience to get to know both of you, not just on a superficial level, but on a much deeper level. And I think we delivered that today. And I think there's some inspiration and courage that people can step into by listening to the show. So
thank you.
Yeah. Thank you both. And I want to thank all of you for joining us today on Voices of Courage. Please pass the show on to people that you care about and people that you love so that they're also inspired and uplifted to be able to take their voice in their life and their presence to a completely new level. Till next time, take care.